You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello. So, since the last time we spoke, what was it that we discussed in last episode?
You don't even remember.
No, I'm just, it's rhetorical.
No, seriously, you don't even remember, because the episode before the last episode, you actually messaged me 2 days later after we recorded that, and you're like, what did we record the other night?
It was social networking, but I was trying to be rhetorical with it. So this time, we're going to have another little bit of a, not really a rant, it's more of a constructive criticism rant. Almost borderline headshot without actually going in that total negative direction. So last time we discussed Revenge of Social Networking, where what you say can and will be used against you in a tweet of law. Well, apparently,
two equally yet distinct groups.
Yes. So if you're listening to Studio 2009, you'll also hear something about apocalyptic films at some point in the future. And it's almost kind of like that, except with TV and films and actors and, you know, just people that have a wild hair up their rear end.
I have a plan, really. I have devised a cunning test to see whether these are savage killers.
Now, whoa!
Hi there!
You might be Edward. Alex Anderson. Only does nothing.
Hi there!
Sorry.
Oh, Alex, what you
doing? No, stop. It's okay. I'm just a silly.
Silly lion.
Oh, jeez!
Oh,
you poor baby. Did that big mean lion scare you?
Uh-huh.
He did. He's a big, bad old putty tad, isn't he?
Come on, Mama, hold you.
They are so cute from a reasonable distance.
The sweetest little thing. Oh, I just want to dunk him in my coffee.
They are just a bunch of pansies.
I don't know. There's still something about that crazy hairdo that I find suspicious.
Nonsense, Maurice. Come on, everybody. Let's go and meet the pansies.
And honestly, people in general, like, I don't understand, like, people essentially wanting to cancel themselves. And I'm talking just people in general. Okay. I see so many people on my Facebook friends list that are like, oh my God, I'm going to leave Facebook because blah, 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 blah. Because
it's like, go then.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's more of like, why would you, like, for me personally, I take my social media and I do with it what I want. I try my best not to say too many controversial things or not too many offensive things, because I know how easily offended the Staples culture is right now. Sorry, I'm looking at a Staples easy button that says easily offended.
That was easy.
Exactly.
Except it sounds more like this. That was easy.
Yep. And it's just one of those things where if you're in so much drama on whatever social media, Facebook or Twitter specifically, because, I mean, honestly, how much drama can there really be on Instagram? It's photos, for crap's sake. Anyway, I'm sure there's plenty, but my point is I'm not going to delete my Twitter account because somebody doesn't agree with an opinion of mine or somebody and I get into an argument. I'm just going to block that person or unfriend them or whatever kind of thing. Why should I give up what I'm doing on social media because somebody else disagrees with me.
So if you haven't gathered what the topic is at this point in time, it's cancel culture. It's come to this point now where instead of just complaining like we've been doing for the last 10 years, progressively getting it worse and worse and worse and worse of everybody just whining about, oh, they ruined Star Wars or they ruined Star Trek. And I mean, I've done the same with Star Trek. Star Wars, I don't really care, but you know, and they've ruined, you know, in my mind, the animation styles of like Ninja Turtles and, you know, which isn't really that bad compared to when you look at Toucan Sam, but honestly, like, I feel like we have better things to focus on at this point in time, like where everybody's up in arms over literally everything.
Wrote one little piece of code and the world falls apart. This is virtual terrorism.
What?
That's crazy. First time I heard the concept of a fire sale, I actually thought it would be cool if anyone ever really did it. Just hit the reset button, melt the system just for fun.
Hey, it's not a system. It's a country. You're talking about people, all right? A whole country full of people. Sitting at home, alone, scared to death in their houses, all right? So if you're done with your little nostalgic moment, maybe you can think a little bit and help me catch these guys.
And I'm not even trying to be mean about it. I'm trying to, like, be empathetical with it. People are literally having a hard, difficult time with life, and we're complaining about what's on TV. And mind you, there's worse things than a fictitious police officer on a show. Like, okay, I get it. Cops is more of a, you know, realistic show. And so, okay, I get that. I'm not trying to be down on the whole situation that's been going on in the world. I'm well aware of it. But those people were total scum that did what they did and should be punished. But I don't think that actively reflects on the entire police culture. And also, I think that the fact that we have zero respect for people in general, not even just police officers, just police or just people in general, there's zero respect for anyone. Like, everybody's always up in arms or always ready to attack someone. And it doesn't matter what you look like or who you are. There's always something like that going on. And the fact that we're going after fictitious cartoon characters now, I mean, we've already gotten, people are trying to do away with the Chase the Police Dog. Like, there's even articles saying, euthanize the police dog, defund the Paw Patrol. All dogs go to heaven except the class traitors and the Paw Patrol. Like, I've seen, like...
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Literally, this stuff is going on. Like, people are losing their mind over it. And
so somebody asked me, what am I doing with my podcast or whatever to bring positivity to whatever or to
somebody
help?
Actually asked you that?
So yes. Well, somebody, you know, basically I said something to the... I missed some argument a month ago or however long ago it was. The point was, somebody asked me, what am I personally doing to help change the current perception of the world or how people see police officers or how people see whatever? And I said, basically, on my podcasts, whichever ones I'm on, like specifically Altered Geek now, because we talk about this stuff on this show, you know, I try to bring some sort of semblance of common sense to the point of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. Mm-hmm. I don't want us spreading misinformation or misleading things. And the fact that people are calling for defund the police, first of all, and I found this and I'll send this to you later off the show, but since you're talking about this, hashtag defund the police does not mean eliminate all police funding. Defund the police means police will be funded, police will not be overfunded, redistribute the city budget, everyone gets a fair share. Defund the police because police should focus on crimes and criminals. Police are not mental health counselors. Police are not social workers, are not medical professionals, are not education specialists. Police should not be responsible for everything. Well, Defund the Police emphasizes reassessing our values, investing in our communities, investing in our people, funding our schools, our hospitals, our services, our infrastructure. Understand that presenting quote unquote defunding the police as the same as eliminating all funding for police is intentionally misleading and manipulative.
Well, to kind of combat that a little bit, and unpack it, I'm not disagreeing with any of that, because I, for one, have no idea, and two,
exactly, we don't there, know.
There are instances where certain counties, they are armed to the tooth, like, except for, like, when you look at a place like Flint, where they barely have enough cops to patrol the city, and so there's not enough funding there to go around anyway, but what's funny is... the politicians are backing this up pretty well, and not to get political with it, but how much of that money that goes towards the city that's supposed to go towards education anyway, or the roads that they promised with all these miraculous taxes that they keep increasing, yeah. What part of it goes to them? Because I have a feeling that they keep adding more managers for stuff, and more of the money keeps going that direction instead of in the direction it should be, which is education and the roads. But back to the original point at hand, you know, people were having a tizzy over Gone with the Wind. And so they pulled it, albeit temporarily, to add historical connotations to it, which, okay, that makes sense. Putting a disclaimer at the beginning saying, hey, you know, we realize that this has some distasteful things that happened, and it's referencing things in history, you know. But if you want to do that, there's a lot of stuff that's come out in the last 20 years even. That's covered mm-hmm. the same ground, and nobody's losing, like, batting an eye. There's things that where women are being objectified in modern media quite often, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to bat an eye at that. There's a lot of double standards, I guess, is what I'm saying. And if we're going to cancel one thing because we're offended over it, like police. There's a lot of stuff that should be canceled. You know, people are calling for Friends to be canceled, you know, to be removed from all sources. You know, I mean, look what they did to Cosby, you know, because he was got in trouble for sexual allegations. They pulled his show from everything. So, I mean, I guess it kind of boils down to where do you draw the line? You know,
yeah.
Did I agree with his stuff being pulled? No. You know, maybe the contractual part of it where he receives a royalty check, boils down to like the whole thing with Hartley too, that got in trouble on Twitter. It's where do you draw the line in things that people have done or said, no matter how bad it is? Like, I mean, yeah, right. Cosby, he dug a pretty Cosby's big hole. He had the physical action in there, which is even worse. Yeah. But where do you draw the line where? You know, I mean, I could see the studios wanting to distance from certain type of behavior, which is mm-hmm. mostly them covering themselves. It has nothing really to do with the actor. It's just more so they can say, hey, we did this so that we don't have backlash. But where do you draw the line before it gets to be where we cancel everything? Because cancel culture seems to be coming for a lot of different shows, not just, you know, it's whatever triggers somebody today or tomorrow. And it's never the same. Like, there was a comment I made about let me see where it's at. Somebody made a comment about Star Trek, the original pilot, the mm-hmm. Cage from 1964. And mm-hmm. what I thought was quite humorous about this is somebody posted, I'm a male. When I watch the Star Trek pilot, The Cage from 1964, I'm not outraged by Pike's line saying, just can't get used to having a woman on the bridge. I don't demand its destruction. It's a stark reminder of where we were and how far we have come. And I said in my reply, I says, if you watch this, remember that in every Trek in the timeline before and after, they've had a woman on the bridge. But this episode is still the first episode that ever aired. So things changed. Right. You know, distinctly between this and the new pilot with Kirk, where they had Uhura, they had Yeoman Rand, they had different female characters on the bridge that would show up, or, you know, you look at any of the series before and after, you have admirals that are females that are in Discovery. So, I mean, it's honestly, it was a throwaway line for that time point in time that it was created. It doesn't necessarily mean it's okay, and obviously they've totally retconned that anyway. But again, it's where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that, look, okay, I listened, and I'm going to do a little bit of pimping here. I've been listening to a podcast called Superhero Cinephiles. It is hosted by Perry Constantine and Derek Ferguson. I've known Derek for years, and Derek's a pretty smart guy. Derek, along with his friend Tom DJ, used to do podcast called Better in the Dark. It was all about films and things like that. In the most recent episode, they were reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And in the beginning, they mentioned something about the whole Hartley thing. And here's what Derek said. How are you going to... The only way that we should be faulting a person on Twitter or social media or whatever about what they said 5, 10, 15 years... Well, Twitter wasn't around 15 years ago, but you know what I mean. Like, back in 2008, if I was still saying the same stupid crap that I was saying then, now, if I still have those same opinions now, that's the problem. But if that was said at that time, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years ago from that actor or whomever, and it was like just him going on a rant or something at the time, and what he said was disgusting, obviously, but yeah, it's just one of those things where how are you going to punish him now unless you know he's still like that now? Like when I saw that story, I was like, did this happen recently?
Yeah, I know. I was kind of lost. Why did somebody dig this up purposely to get him canned? Like,
exactly.
Because as far as I can see, he hasn't posted any kind of crap like that since over the last 5 years. Like, that was something he just did at the time. I think it was just more so for a reaction, if anything else. Which, again, it's still wrong, but...
It's still...
I mean, it's like James Gunn doing some comment he made 10 years ago, and then Disney's like, well, we gotta fire him from Guardians 3. And then they ended up having to rehire him anyway because people threw such a big protest over there. Like, it happened 10 years ago. But that goes to show you that as long as the money bags are going in the right direction, people don't care. They'll turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
So it ultimately kind of boils down to, you know, why why are we making such a big deal over some of this, you know.
Million this weekend for 2 shows only.
When's the last time you remember turning on the radio and listening to popular music? Or just give me a decade. The 70s? I'm guessing was Michael Jackson still black? Pearl Jam, I'll go back 10 years with you. 10 years. 20 years. Cure? Nothing?
It's called news radio. I was trying to see if any of your friends from Camden made the headlines.
Hold on. This is the news.
You got a problem with the news now?
Yeah, I got a big goddamn problem with the news. You ready for this? The news is completely manipulated. Everything you hear every single day is designed by corporate media to do one thing and one thing only.
Jesus.
To keep you living in fear.
Oh, fear?
Total fear. Fear so you'll go out and you'll spend money on things. Things you probably don't even need. Things you probably already have 6 of, so that their advertisers will keep buying ads on their stations. I'll tell you one more thing. You ready for this? I'll do this all day, man. I got days of data.
For crying out loud, people say worse things about, whether you like him or hate him, people say worse things about the president every day. In other countries, they would be shot, like, or hung or something, like, because you can't get away with that. Here, we have freedom of speech. So you can say things like that and get away with it. You can make fun of things. You can't, that's why we have Saturday Night Live. I mean, The blatant overall not even talking about him, not talking about, and we've called him the annoying orange, so it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Not even talking about him, the blatant disrespect people have for each other is disgusting.
I try my best to respect everybody, and I've tried. Okay, so we've had opinions in the past.
Of course. And I've changed my opinion since we started this network over a lot of things.
Exactly. And here's my thing specifically to Transformers. Okay. We have seen people on forums and other places and wherever. Basically, it's G1. Nothing else exists. That's it. Beast Wars didn't revitalize the franchise. It did. You know, it's like, and my opinion has been for the longest time now, not just the last 4 or 5 years, I would say since at least maybe 2010, 2011, I like, out of the 5 main United States eras, Beast, G1, Animated, Prime, even now, Cyberverse and whatever, I like them all for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's the thing again that I mentioned. Tom DJ earlier, who's a friend of Derek Ferguson. Tom and I did a podcast on our flagship show, Geekcast Radio, of how, you know, broken fandoms and how we can fix them. Tom has come up with what he calls the Modern Fandom Manifesto. And these are some of the tenets. And I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to, you know, read one of them here. Actually, 1 and 3. Number 1, I will respect that people may like something I do not like, and I will not try to force him or her to believe otherwise. Number 3, I will celebrate what I love and accept the loves of my fellow fans. So, again, like I mentioned last time or at some other point in whatever other recordings we've done in the last week or 2 weeks, you're a diehard Star Trek fan. I'm a casual Star Trek fan. I don't, you know, I'm not going after you because you're, you know, you can pull season 9, episode 27 or whatever, you know, out of your hat. You know, I'm trying my best now to, and I have been trying to do this, not just ever since Tom and I recorded that, but basically I'm trying not to put out that my opinion is the only opinion, because we all have giant assholes on our mouths for opinions. And they all shit all over the place from time to time. But at least I can go into a conversation saying, okay, this is my opinion. And if somebody else says, hey, that's great, but this is mine, I can agree to disagree or whatever. And we can all just have a friendly discussion about what we like and what we don't like. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have, like, I'm not really in the whole end all be like, you know, yeah, perfect example. Scrappy Doo is the best thing to ever happen to Scooby Doo.
You're delusional.
You
sad, that's strange little man. No, but I mean, that's your opinion.
Right. And that, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, you know,
that's the kind of thing that we do here, and we agree to disagree, but everybody has their own opinion. So yeah, we're not discounting that. Like, you think Nickelback's great, and none of us do. And that doesn't mean anything because you're still a fan.
Exactly. So you mentioned about, you know, in other countries, how, you know, people get shot for saying things about people or mm-hmm. presidents or rulers or whatever else. As of this recording, I saw a thing on the Dad Jokes Facebook page. Got a new job at the Guillotine Factory. I'll be heading there shortly. I know not everyone's going to get along. I know not everyone is going to feel the same way about certain things. But I would hope that we could all come together and try our best to be better. For ourselves, for the people that are around us, loved ones, you know, family members, friends, wives, girlfriends, children, whatever, you know, whatever you have in your life. I always think we should at least try our best to strive to be better. And if we, you know, do or do not, there is no try. Yoda is right, but it has to be a try for this, because how can we be better as the human race when nobody wants to even attempt to do so?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same thought. Like, I think that we should be. I get everybody has an opinion. I get people are upset over a lot of stuff that's going on, because there's a lot of discord. There's a lot of issues going on that honestly should not have been going on this long. Again, I blame our central government. And I mean, the last 50 years, nobody's really tried to do anything. It's just been pushing an agenda for the last 50 years. And it's been the back and forth, you know, headbutting between each other. And so I don't feel like that any of them have actually had people's best interest at heart. And unless it suits them and there's a, you know, big payday at the end of it, unless they have money of their own and they just don't care. I'm not leaving any of them out. They're all garbage. I think they all need to be flushed away. Like Robin Williams says, you know, politicians are a lot like diapers and they need to be changed frequently. And for the same reason, you know, we don't need these lifetimers that are in there, because I honestly don't think they help at all. And honestly, I think if we need real change, I think we need younger people in there that have a clue what's going on, not these 70, 80-year-old people that are running. And I'm not discounting them at all, because they are citizens, but they have no idea how, you know, the job market works today. They have no idea how a lot of things work today. Like, everything's changed. It's totally different than when they were in the workforce. And so, honestly, like, I feel like between that and, you know, the way Twitter is, I mean, Twitter's basically everybody's unfiltered emotions coming out on everything, because there's no filter. And that's something I've always tried to be careful of, not pushing my beliefs, things that I know about on other people that may rub them wrong. I've had conversations with other geeks that in podcasts, and they were before them, and we believe totally different stances on things, or I ride the middle of the road and they are far one direction or the other. I'm still friends with them. I don't care. I mean, it's just, I find the common ground and we stay on that. And yeah, we discuss a little bit in either direction, but for the most part, we stick with the common ground. That's where we need to be unifying. It's not in the constant battling or trying to, I'm upset about this. I need to cancel this show, or I need to make this creator feel bad for making this rendition. It's like that old phrase, wait 5 minutes, it'll change, with the Michigan weather thing. It's the same thing with pop culture. You know, wait 2 years, it'll change. Look at how many times we've changed Spider-Man in the last 15, 20 years. Or changed Batman, or changed really any of them. I mean, we're going through another change of a lot of that stuff now. I mean, honestly, it's if you wait long enough, it will change. So yeah, I mean, I feel like we are at this weird phase of things at this point, of just kind of waiting for things to change. And honestly, I think that people need to be a little bit more understanding. And if your end goal is to try and flush a TV show down the toilet because you don't like it, you've got a real problem.
If I don't like and again, this goes back to, and I know I've mentioned this on this show for the last six. Wow, is Altered Geek 6 this year or 7?
Oh, no, it's older. It started in 2013.
2012, wasn't it?
The video show started in 2012. The podcast started in 2013.
Okay, August 2013. Okay, yeah. So I've been saying this for years. Trailers for anything, video games, movies, television shows, whatever. They're there to either get you into it and get you excited for it, or they're there for you to see them and you're like, okay, that's not a movie for me. kind of, or video game or whatever kind of thing. You know, if I watch a couple episodes of a show, I actually, it's funny, I can bring this back around to the original co-host for you, our good buddy Mike Booth Ninja Powers. I feel like every time I say his name, he should just appear, because he hasn't appeared in a while.
Just make him go.
Anyway. Wah. Exactly. He should just, you know.
Just show you know, up.
Transporter in or some phase in or whatever you want to call it from Star Trek. Anyway, you know, something he said years ago was he usually gives TV shows a 5-episode chance. If by the end of the 5th episode he's not interested in it of the first season, then he probably won't watch it. And I have kind of taken that same approach. At the same time, I know there are TV shows out there that are not for me because it doesn't align with my interests. Am I going to sit there and waste my time and a creator's time by going on Twitter and saying, oh, you know, you created, you know, Hill Street Blues or The Odd Couple or Cash Cab or, you know, whatever. I'm just scrolling through Hulu with Agatha Christie's Marple. You know what I mean? Like, am I going to go to these people and say, oh, this show shouldn't be a thing because it's, you know, I think it's me. No. Yeah, because it upsets me. And no. I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch it. Like, there are plenty of comedies out there that I don't watch. There are plenty of comedies out there that I do watch. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Friends. I'm not a fan of that show. I prefer Seinfeld because I think Seinfeld is funnier. But at the same time, am I going to go to the people who created Friends and say, you suck, your show sucks? The fact that certain creators, and this makes me so mad, get death threats over what they've created because they're trying to – if you watch Friends and you get something out of it and you get enjoyment out of it or whatever it is that you get out of it, that's great. That's something good for you. That show, you know, helped you get through a time. You know, if you find, you know, Joey funny or Chandler or Monica or Ross or Rachel or whomever, Phoebe, you know, that's great. It's not my thing, and that's okay too. But at the same time, because it isn't my thing, I don't think it shouldn't exist. I'm not one of those people that, you know what I mean? Like, yes, there are bad movies out there and whatever else, but, you know, there's always going to be bad movies. I mean.
No, and I get it. Like, there's just, yeah.
And some people enjoy bad movies. Like, say what you will about it, and what it represented. But in 1993, we didn't have the technology and advancements for what we have today. So in 1993, Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo was all we could get for Super Mario Brothers. I still love that movie. Even though it's not really based on the game, it has some aspects, but not a lot. Doesn't matter. I still enjoyed it.
And yeah, and it was fun and memorable to you. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's not any less validated. But again, I feel like cancel culture, I feel like we're at this stupid point where we need
if
to
you
get
cancel
beyond.
Everything, folks.
Yeah, I mean,
if you cancel everything, folks, we won't have anything.
I mean, because everything has something that's offensive in it. You know, I mean,
ain't that the flippant truth?
I mean, it is. It's, you know, it's a poison and it needs to stop, because if you get to that point, you know, if you're offended over, you know, a movie about religion, or you're, you know, mad because, oh, there's a politician you don't like, or there's this has, you know, the Twin Towers, and I don't believe that we should have to watch anything with that. So they try and cancel all those, you know, I mean. Really, it boils down to just, you know, you can't erase history. Things happened. All you can do
and
is
here's
learn
the
from
thing.
It and move on.
Here's the thing. If we erase the history that has been created throughout our lifetimes and even before then, you're doomed to repeat what the mistakes were that happened.
Mm-hmm.
History is exactly that. It is history. There's no changing the past. There is only living in the present and forging your future, whatever future that may be.
Yeah, and what's funny is, as we talk about this, it says people are trying to get Domino's canceled for an 8-year-old tweet. I'm not lying.
What?
I'm not lying.
What was
Domino's getting
what was
dragged
the tweet?
For an innocent reply from a 2012 tweet is absolutely peak 2020 energy. It says, and I'm crying and laughing and also crying for the poor Domino's social team. I have a feeling it's somebody that is a, I love when things are blocked and it's not somebody I would personally actually block. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, I swear Twitter goes through people's feeds. And then if you're not like hardcore liberal, they block anything on the other side. So you can't actually weigh the options of what they're both saying. Because half the time I go in to read these tweets, it says, you've blocked this person. And I know for a fact I never did. So this is former national press secretary for Donald Trump 2020 campaign. Says former GOP person. Okay, you know. The person put... fun fact, Domino's is way better than any New York City pizza. Back November 8th, 2012. And then they replied, that's one heck of a compliment. Thanks for the love. We appreciate it. And people mm-hmm. are trying to get it canceled because of this. and people are going, way to align yourself with a political party, Domino's. Probably should have been silent. Did they say anything against that? They were just saying that's a compliment, that saying that it was better than New York City pizza. Like, what does that have to do with politics?
Nothing.
And people are just going bananas over it. And somebody else was like, how so? This was in 2012 and wasn't responding to a political comment. Literally just a comment. This cancel culture is pathetic. And it says the most pathetic part is the people who actually took the time to dig up this tweet.
Yeah. So I didn't find the actual tweet, but I found on Twitter a person that screen capped this. And this is from today, from June 15th. So this person, I don't know who they are, whatever, they say, Domino's being quote-unquote canceled for a tweet from 2012 when they thank someone for complimenting their pizza is peak 2020. Also, you have deep mental issues if this triggers you. As you said, the tweet, fun fact, at Domino's is way better than any NYC pizza.
Yeah, that's what it just
Domino's replies to the person. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously? That's not...
Well, and somebody, just to be funny, was like, how can you tell President Trump's going to win in November when cancel culture seizes an 8-year-old tweet about pizza? I just read this. Somebody posted this. It's quite funny, actually. And somebody else is like, this is from 8 years ago. In addition to Domino's, just wait till they find her Taco Bell and Pizza Hut tweets. Cancel culture is real and despicable. And people are like, you just killed your brand. Literally, it's people that are, these famous people are sitting there rallying against somebody because they had anything to do with Trump. It's honestly just ridiculous. I get that he's not a very well-liked person. He has a big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would deny that. He says a lot of stupid stuff that shouldn't be said.
That's factual.
Yeah, it's factual. What is funny is cancel culture is to the peak of they're making fun of pizza.
Yeah.
Do you have anything better to do than kill things with an old tweet?
And so old tweets is funny because every now and then, and I have to go in and check these accounts sometimes because I don't know how the hell they do this. I will get notifications for tweets that I made in 2014 or 2012. I'm like, who the frag spends their time going through my Twitter timeline to to find something from 2014, 2012, 2010, whenever. I'm like, who has, like, you know this. Hopefully the Altered Geek audience knows this. I have a lot of time on my hands, sadly, because of my physical disabilities and whatever else. I can't hold down a regular job kind of thing. So I do a lot of podcasting, and I do a lot of prep for podcasting, and I watch a lot of stuff, and I read a lot of comics, and I have a lot of time throughout the day. I am not going to waste that time going through somebody who has been on Twitter for 10 plus years. I'm not going to waste my time going through their timeline to try to get them in trouble now for something that they said. And it isn't, that's a completely innocent two-part conversation. It's like, this conversation is between A and B. See your way out of it and don't see your way out of it and don't come back ever. Kind of a thing. It just, I understand people are restless. I understand people are tired of being at home. But man, it's just, what is this world coming to?
Yeah, it's definitely broken, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I just don't know where I don't know where all this crap's going anymore, but it's honestly the most ridiculous thing in the world to sit there. Like I said, whether you're talking politics or not, or you've said something distasteful, something that happened, you know, even 2 years ago isn't necessarily something that's how you think now.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, people, there's no change. Yeah, I mean, I said a lot of stupid crap in Headshot like 10 years ago, which is why it's not online because I did say a lot of stupid stuff, and I'm sure it went off half-cocked and there was no thought behind it. I know for a fact I had a lot of comments like that. So honestly, like, I don't feel that's a good portrayal of my character now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, if these people that are grasping at straws purposely to alienate somebody or ruin their life, it's not helpful. Like, we're already, as a nation, we're broken. We're already hurting enough. We don't need to be worrying about trying to cancel each other or destroy each other's credibility because we had an alignment with something at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, how would you wrap your side up anyway? Like, your part of the commentary.
I hope. And here's the thing, folks. You always have to have hope. If you don't have hope, then there's whatever. For me, I hope we can all be better to each other. I hope we can all stand up for one another and help each other. I hope that us as podcasters, for what we do, we bring some sort of levity, some sort of entertainment, some sort of escapism from everything that's going on in the world, because I know I need that. I know a lot of other people need that too. So I'm hoping that the people can look to Altered Geek and Geekcast Radio Network, even though we're talking about these deep issues on this episode. Cancel culture is a cancer, and it's not good. Like I said earlier in the show, if you cancel everything, you have nothing.
I mean, it was canceling comedies years ago. Like, you're not allowed to say anything because it offends somebody, which basically killed, you know, stand-up comedy.
Yeah, or, you know, look at the video. Oh, my God, video games are so violent. Like, and that's another part of the cancel culture that's come up, the fact that Elmer doesn't have his gun in the new Looney Tunes shorts.
I mean, I get it because people are triggered by guns.
I get it. Yeah, I get it too. But I saved this meme from Facebook. It's a picture of classic Elmer and classic Yosemite Sam. Both of them have guns in their hands. Raise your hand if you grew up watching these guys and haven't shot anyone.
I don't even own a gun. Like, I mean, I've shot a gun at a target, like at a gun range.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I'm not, it's a cartoon. People get anvils dropped on them. Do we sit there and drop anvils on people off of cliffs?
No.
Exactly my point. Like, it's not, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, my side of it is I'm hoping for hope. I'm hoping for all of us to be better. I'm hoping that together we can fix what's broken, or we can find a new way of living and leave the broken part of it behind, because what's broken is in the past. And yes, I understand there are still things going on to this day as of this recording that stuff hasn't changed yet. But if we fight for that change, maybe we won't be so broken anymore.
Exactly.
I don't know. So
on a lighter note to end this episode, well, I mean, this is good news. San Diego Comic-Con will be free for everyone at home, July 22nd through the 26th. And I'm not sure how often we'll be covering it, but we'll be covering it as much as we can during that time span.
Yep.
So it'll be taking place on the original SDCC dates. And has been confirmed to be free for everyone. They're promising panels and presentations about comics, gaming, television, film, and a wide variety of topics from publishers, studios, and more. It's probably because they're going to be on Zoom, but I guess we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what we get to experience from that. So.
Yes. It will be interesting to see what happens.
So the question I would like to pose is, what would your solution be instead of getting upset over everything and wanting to fuel cancel culture or personal attacks on people? Or, you know, what would you kind of think would be the solution to this? And not that it's a one overarching solution. There's obviously a lot of problems, but it would be interesting to know, you know, what you think in general.
Absolutely.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Think things that you don't think the office would get the green light in today's cultural conditions.
Yeah, not only because you know, times have changed, and there's this new weird sort of fascism of people thinking they know what you can say and what you can't, and it's a really weird thing that there's this new trendy myth that people who want free speech want it to say awful things all the time. This just isn't true. It protects everyone, and this new thing, hate speech. Oh, that's hate speech, and. But the two catastrophic problems with the term hate speech is, one, what constitutes hate speech? Everyone disagrees. There is no consensus on what hate speech is, right? Yeah. And two, who decides? And there's the real rub, because obviously the people who think they want to close down free speech because it's bad are the fascists. It's a really weird, mixed-up idea that these people hide behind the shield of goodness. We're good. We're social justice. We're doing this for good, and what we say goes.
Yeah.
And they don't realise how corrupt and wrong that is. It's just a nonsense.
We're doing this for the good of humanity, and because of that, we're going to destroy your life.
Well, exactly, and it is mob rule, and I think that's what would compromise the comedy. Not that some people wouldn't love it and get it. It's that the people in charge would be bullied. Yeah. You know, that the BBC would, have to write letters. And that's usually the case with a complaint. When they worry about someone, they're not worried about right and wrong. They're worried about how many letters they'll have to write and how it will look bad. Because And I've said before, I've talked people down off the ledge my whole career. And they said, oh, we're worried about this bit. And I go, why? And they say, well, no, it's not like that at all. Here's the joke. That's the subject of the joke. Here's the target. And sometimes it needs to be explained, but it needs to be defended as well. You put something together that's ironic or satirical. Someone says someone will be offended by that. Let's lose it. No, let's not lose it. Let's defend it. Let's explain. Yeah. Let's talk about this. What are you doing? This is madness.
It's not illegal to be offensive, to offend people. And I agree. No. At the heart of this is this feeling that, or this belief that to offend is against the law. Well, it's not. No. What about...
And also, there are loads... Let's not forget, there are loads of caveats to free speech already, but I agree with all of them. Libel, slander, watersheds, protection of children's rights, food additives. All these things are already in place. What's not in place and what's never should be in place is... You mustn't say something that someone somewhere might find offensive, because someone somewhere will find everything offensive. And as I've said so many times, just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're right. Some people are offended by equality. Some people are offended by gay marriage. Some people are offended by mixed marriage. So what? It's ridiculous. Offense is good because it makes you think and it makes you come up with an argument. And what's happened recently is I'm offended as replaced an argument. You have to say, so what?
Yeah, that's that's offensive. Yeah, and
how
has The Office changed your life?
Completely. I think in the sense of financially, comfort, career wise, of course. Luckily, though, I was already 40 when it happened, so. You know, I had my values in place. I knew who I was. Fame didn't define me. So I've tried to stay a normal person. You know, I have friends and family and all that. And I think that's the real worry with fame. And I did fear it. I feared it for lots of reasons. I didn't want people to think that I'd signed that deal with the devil, you know, that make me famous and you can go through my bins. I didn't want to be lumped in with those people that did anything to be famous. And now I don't want to be lumped in with those celebrities who lecture people, who think they're above everything just because they've got a platform. I mean, it really works both ways. And the worry now is social media amplifies everything. If you're mildly left wing on Twitter, you're suddenly Trotsky. If you're mildly conservative, you're Hitler.
You're a Nazi,
And if you're centrist and you look at both arguments, you're a coward. You know, they both hate you.
you just can't win, can you?
No, you can't. You just got to do your thing and sleep at night and know, you know, you're doing a decent, you know, job of work and stuff.
Listen, but just before you go, Ricky. I've got on my show tomorrow. I've got our mutual friend Peter Egan. I've been doing a bit of a campaign about this horrible canned trophy hunting industry and the way that lions are bred and mistreated from the moment they're born to the moment they die. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the issue.
Well, two things. No one does more for animal welfare than Peter Egan.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
He's like a mentor. If someone asks me to do something, I check with him. Is this a reputable charity? Is it good? He's great. Or that he knows everything. I don't know how he gets the time to do it and still have a career.
We should mention, by the way, he's starring in your excellent Netflix series, Afterlife. But
he's been since Seven Degrees of Circles. I've always wanted to work with him. But, as a friend and an animal advocate, he's the number one, I'd say, in Britain. Two, it's disgusting. Of course it is. Imagine, here's the real thing, okay? So they breed lions and they sort of socialise them, pay to pet them. So these are basically big, tame cats, right? They've never experienced the wild at all. Then some rich, fat, lazy American dentist pays $30,000 to shoot a big, tame animal.
Drugged. They're usually drugged.
Someone shoots it. Drugged. Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting. And this thing about you know, I should say, wherever we go about hunting, we don't mean hunting. We don't mean a man catching the fish and feeding his family. We mean someone who's we're placating them. We're giving them a bloodlust. This nonsense of paying to shoot an endangered species. You know, it's good for conservation. It's not good for conservation. It's a con. That's propaganda. It goes into corrupt officials' pockets. And all we're doing is letting someone shoot something with a bow and arrow because they like it. It's disgusting. And this is particularly offensive because that lion hasn't even had a wild life.
Oh, no.
It's horrible. It's like you know, letting someone shoot their pet dog. It's ludicrous. I don't understand it. I don't understand the psychology of ending something's life for fun. And then when there's torture involved, like bullfighting, that's the worst. It's the most disgusting because, again, they drug the bull, they cut the tendons on the back of the neck so it looks like it's charging all the time. They bleed it so it's weak. They blunt the horns. They find smaller bull. I want to choose the bull. It's like, okay, right, fight this one. And, you know, I love it when the bull wins. But it should be banned. It's absolutely disgusting. And anyone who takes part and watches it, I don't get it. I've never understood animal cruelty. And
I don't either. I think there's there's always an exception to the rule, and I think we're allowed to take great offence about what goes on with these poor creatures.
Well, this isn't offence about work. This is people have said this to me. So when I say about you shouldn't be offended by a joke, they say, well, you don't like torturing an animal. I go, no, that's actually torturing an animal. Make a joke about it. Fill your boots, mate. But don't actually torture an animal. That's not a joke.
That's not a joke, no.